Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today, our text is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, which says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." This is a great promise from the Word of God that God will answer our prayers, that God will meet our needs, that God will help us through the difficult times in life. And basically, the God is looking over each and every one of us, and he's trying to help us by guiding and directing us to live a holy life, but also opening doors and watching over and protecting and caring for us each day. What a great blessing it is to commune with our Heavenly Father, to thank him for all his blessings and benefits, but also to ask him for the things that we need. And he's a loving, good God who cares for us and will meet our needs. And we can always trust him to do the right thing for us each day. What a blessing it is to be a child of God in this day and age.
This is Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go. This week on the broadcast, I would like to share a mission moments and reports from some of our missionaries so you can get a glimpse of news from around the world this week. Supporting missionaries is a crucial part of spreading the message of Christianity and helping those in need around the world. Here are some biblical verses that you can use to encourage Christians to hear and support missionaries. Romans chapter 10, verses 14, 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. These verses emphasize the importance of spreading the gospel, supporting missionaries, and being actively involved in missions work. Encourage fellow Christians to pray for, financially support, and actively participate in missions to fulfill the Great Commission and bring glory to God. Here is a quick note from Mano Young in India. Mano is very busy at Panagam, their senior home in India. She and her father and their staff team are currently caring for 43 individuals. Mana makes it a point to spend time with each individual and look after their well-being and needs. She oversees admissions, staff management, bookkeeping, accounts, and all government dealings. Their associate pastor, Pastor Alango, is also a great help in evangelism. The Lord gives power to grow the church through His word and love. Our church is surrounded by idol worshipers. Only the Lord's power and presence can break a person free from this bondage as we share the good news of the gospel. From our field members in Haiti, Dedukins and Laney St. Fart report, "Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death." Psalm chapter 94, verse 17. These words of the psalmist are still relevant today, especially for our missionaries in Haiti, who repeat them daily, given their country's situation. Watching pigs and dogs eat human flesh throughout the streets of Port-au-Prince is a traumatic experience. They have seen all of this. What they experienced was unprecedented and unheard of. The first part of 2024 was peppered with chaos never recorded in the country's history. God kept them alive through the storm. Thanks to the support of members of the body of Christ like you, they were able to stand and stay alongside their brothers and sisters. As you probably heard in the news, Haiti has experienced many difficult times this year. It was highly dangerous to be in the street in certain places in the capital. Many of their students were displaced, had family members kidnapped or killed in the chaos, or lost their jobs. Despite the chaos and insecurity, they did not give up, and their students held on to their studies for the sake of God's kingdom. Dukins and Laney, a missionary couple, praise God for the students' resilience and for being able to schedule some rare meetings with their students despite this chaos. While many were fleeing their country, God was sending students to seminary to be trained to continue to minister to His people. At the churches, people get saved each Sunday, and we are thankful that many students want to be trained, as there must be leaders ministering to the newly saved. And from our other team in Haiti, Jean and Jean Marie Joseph Ministry continues steadfastly in Haiti, despite the many difficulties the people are facing. Pastors and church leaders recently gathered for a two-day conference and seminars. It was a blessed time of encouragement, fellowship, and motivation for all participants. They were challenged to develop strategic church programs driven by vision and to cultivate holistic ministries that bring transformation to lives and communities for Christ. Despite the difficulties many faced in attending, their commitment and perseverance were truly inspiring. One pastor described it, "It was a long journey to reach this training. I walked, took a tap-tap public transportation, and took a motorcycle taxi for hours to arrive here finally. I felt exhausted until I reached my destination. However, from the first song and prayer to the benediction the next day, I was completely captivated and deeply moved by the teachings. All my weariness vanished, and I feel saddened that this seminar ended too soon." Together, we are truly transforming lives in southern Haiti for the glory of God. Thank you for listening these moments from the mission field. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported broadcast. This month we offer Stress to the Max Peace for Women Under Pressure by Joni Erickson Tada. Does it seem like your to-do list always gets longer instead of shorter? Do you try to slow down but find yourself scrambling to keep up? Stress is unavoidable, but it often seems you have more than your fair share. You can't continue at this pace forever, but there doesn't seem to be a way out. With characteristic understanding and compassion, Joni Erickson Tada helps you begin to slow down and sort through the sources of your stress. She offers the spiritual refreshment of Christ's loving presence and words of encouragement, along with practical, empowering suggestions for exchanging a stressful lifestyle for a life of rest. This program would not be on the air without your support and prayers. Thank you again. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson and is titled Profit and Loss. Printed copies are available upon request.
At the funeral of a very wealthy businessman, the question was asked, how much did he make? The answer, a lot. And how much did he leave? And the answer, he left it all. You see, you can't take it with you. And yet, in our materialistic age, things are of utmost importance to most people in Canada and the United States and other foreign countries. But our lifestyle here is lavish compared to most people in the world today, especially third world countries where people struggle for merely an existence in life. In our North American culture, people are concerned with money and power, and more they seem to want. Materialism has become our god. More people are involved in stocks and bonds, and the stock market has reached record levels and still has its ups and downs and will have its ups and downs. People think and talk constantly about their profits and losses, hoping to make big gains financially, forgetting that we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Today, in our study of God's Word, the Bible, we come to an amazing portion about profits and losses. No, not on the stock market or on corporate ledgers or business or even individual accounts, but profits and losses, spiritually speaking, in our relationship to Almighty God. Have you thought about that? You see, it's the most important of all because it deals not only with time here, but with eternity. I want you to think with me on this vital subject. Listen to the testimony of a man of great influence in his day, Paul the Apostle. His testimony is found in Philippians chapter 3. As we continue to study this amazing New Testament letter, it gives to us insights into the only real meaning to life and in the light of eternity. I'm reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. If you're able to open your Bible where you are, then please do so and follow along. If not, maybe you're riding in a car or whatever. Listen as I read carefully Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or refuge or garbage, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Here, Paul brings out the truth about spiritual accountancy, drawing up for us a true profit and loss account before Almighty God. Did you notice when I read the word counted in verse 7 and the word count twice in verse 8? You see, Paul has already listed in verses 4, 5, and 6 the great investments he considered as valuable securities, but they had grossly depreciated. Now he is forced to write them off as worth nothing. He is talking about all the things he thought would be valuable before God as a means of being accepted by him and allowed into his heaven. And he was proud of these, and he boasted in them. He talks of his birth, his background, his family and stock, his religious achievements and activities, his reputation and zeal in the things of God, his sincerity and manner of self-righteous living. He had it all, he thought. It was all profit, surely, in the sight of God. And then he discovered, as you and I also must discover, that this is all loss, not profit in God's eyes. The only thing a holy God will accept is the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, who came here from heaven, who was born supernaturally, the Messiah, Savior of all mankind. He lived a perfect life, died on the cross for all the sins of us, yours and mine. Then he rose again triumphantly from the grave, as he promised, and has ascended back to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, coming back again soon as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May I remind you what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There are not many ways to heaven. There's only one. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. When Paul, then known as Saul of Tarsus, found that out on the Damascus Road, and you can read about it in Acts chapter 9, he turned from trusting in what he thought were his profits and suffered the loss of all of them in order to gain what he could not earn by any means, that is, the righteousness of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus did. You see, he paid the price on the cross for our redemption. And when Paul realized that it was paid, he could not earn it, and trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord personally, he was transformed. Listen again as I read it. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. But doubtless now I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, or faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. All financial gain, all material gain, all physical gain, all intellectual gain, all moral gain, all religious gain, all reputational gain were nothing, even less than nothing, compared with what he gained in Christ Jesus. Now notice what he gained. Three very vital things that you and I must possess if we are to be accepted by God. And even more than that, possessing these, we have gained far more than we could ever gain through our own self-righteousness. Please understand that today. Now notice what Paul gained. He gained a personal relationship with Christ. Verse 8, he speaks of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, it is more excellent, more superior, more wonderful, far better to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. So he experienced a personal relationship. Oh, he once had religion. Now he has a relationship. Notice secondly, he experienced and received as a gain positional righteousness in Christ. Listen as I read verse 9. Oh, he says, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, or by keeping the commandments, which no one can keep, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He received a personal relationship with Christ. He gained a positional righteousness in Christ, or a right standing before God, that none of his self-effort could ever gain, and none of yours can either. And thirdly, he received a powerful resurrection through Christ. He says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. That is newness of life. That's life everlasting. Now I want you to think about these, particularly, first of all, the matter of personal relationship. Paul gained a personal relationship, a positional righteousness, and a powerful resurrection. Now many people have religion or a form of godliness, but they do not have a relationship with Christ, and thus they know nothing of his transforming power in their lives. They look at becoming a Christian as a loss. They think of having to give up certain habits and friends and things that they now have that they're trusting in. They think of it as loss. It's not loss. It is gain. What you lose, you gain far more in Christ. And you only lose your ugly sins and your separation from God. Now, Paul felt the greatest thing that ever happened to him was coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord. The all things that he talks about in verse 8 when he says, I've suffered the loss of all things, are the things for which and by which he formerly lived. You see, knowing Christ totally changed everything. But notice that the most important aspiration he had from now on was to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ better, more intimately. He says in verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death. Paul is saying that the greatest thing that ever happened to him was knowing Christ, and the greatest thing that was going to continue to happen to him in his earthly lifetime was getting to know Christ deeper and better and more intimately. You see, knowing Christ is far better than knowing about him. You may know a lot about certain famous people, for example, through reading, radio, television, and so on, but you can't say, I know that person or those persons personally. It's the same with the Lord Jesus. He is the only Lord. He is offered as the Savior to all people everywhere. But only when you receive him can you say, he is my Lord. And that's what Paul says in verse 8. Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, when a person really gets to know the Son of God, the glories of the old life fade into oblivion. The gains in Christ overshadow any loss from the old life. No person complains about giving up something if they are certain to gain something more and far better. And I wonder today, if you are still trusting in the self-righteous efforts, religion, things, money, materialism, instead of gaining the most vital and important thing in life, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which brings to you all the riches of God's grace and all the blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that you can not know or have in any other way. My wife and I, just last week, were visiting in a medical office. There's a chiropractor, a medical doctor, his wife, who is the secretary there, and also a therapist. When we visited there and began talking about past places where we lived and so on, we struck up a conversation that eventually led to a wonderful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I found out that the medical doctor and his wife had recently been to a wonderful program in an evangelical church where the gospel was gloriously presented in song and through drama. At the end of the service, the wife, the secretary there in the office, said, "You know, the pastor told us about coming to know Jesus in a personal way. He gave his testimony and he invited us to pray and ask Christ." And she said, "You know, I did, and I feel different." But she had no assurance of her salvation. She was still trying by self-righteous religious efforts to make herself acceptable before God. But she said, I think I'm different now that I've received Christ." And so I said to her, as I want to say to you this morning in closing, the greatest discovery I ever made. She looked at me and said, "What was it?" I said that eternal life is not a thing, not something you strive after and somehow attain. Eternal life is a person. Jesus Christ is eternal life. Her eyes lit up. She said, "I understand." And I said, "Since Jesus Christ is eternal life, and he is called that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested unto us," 1 John chapter 1. "And since the Bible says he that has the Son has life, he that has not the Son of God has not life, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and may believe in the name of the Son of God." Since the Bible teaches that, to receive Christ, the moment you receive him, you have eternal life. Had the joy of leading her to the assurance of her salvation. My friend, this morning, would you be willing to make that simple choice and move from the loss statement to the profit statement, to lose your sins and your separation from God and gain in Jesus Christ acceptance before God, right standing before him, and all the riches that only Christ can give? Pray right now and receive him into your heart and life. And you will be able to say, "All things are loss for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." God bless you.
I'm sure the Lord used this message in your life, and I trust that God will continue to work in your life throughout this next week. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're very concerned about those who listen to our broadcasts. We pray for those who write in with requests, and also we're concerned about those who have never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And the gospel is made very clear. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that the wages of that sin, the payment for our sin, is death, spiritual death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so basically we realize that we're a sinner and we need a Savior, and we ask Jesus to come into our life. We realize that God loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. And as we pray and ask him, "But as many as receive him, unto them gave he the right to become the children of God." So if we pray and ask Jesus to come into our life and we're sincere, the Bible tells us that we'll be changed and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us then. Our sins are forgiven. We have a relationship with God and we can study the Word of God and we can grow and know more about him, and he will bless us and use us in a mighty way.
Remember to order your copy of Stress to the Max, Peace for Women Under Pressure by Joni Erickson Tada. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. For more information about the Ministries of Mission, go visit www.missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers. Please have a blessed day.